You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Looking for any dope gifts for the holiday season?
It's coming up.
It is.
It's coming right around the corner.
Oh, man. That's true. For those of you who forgot, it's that time of year.
We're getting to that point, and we have a new fun thing we're doing.
Featured artist.
What?
It's so exciting.
It's actually very exciting.
Our featured artist for the holiday season.
Faith Sponsler.
We are obsessed with
Love her.
She's amazing.
She's a friend, a muse.
An alchemist.
Alchemist?
Artist. I would call her something of a wizard.
A mage.
Yeah.
Wizard or a mage.
She has done a collaboration with us, which she created beautiful, color-changing art history babes prints. Limited edition. There's not a ton of them, so you're going to want to get one.
Get them while you can.
I want that.
They're great. They're really
beautiful.
Fun.
Yeah.
She did an amazing job. I love her color-changing prints. They're the coolest. Like, you just put them in some tea or some coffee and watch it change before your eyes.
It's beautiful.
Magique.
The whole process is super fun. And you get to be involved in the art, which is always a cool thing.
You will be a patron of the arts.
Yeah.
And those wealthy Italian men in Vatican City in the Renaissance, you'll be like them.
Exactly. That's what buying one of these prints will make you.
Basically.
You're basically a
cardinal.
Head over to arthistorybabes.com. Click on our featured artist tag. You can read all about Faith and her work.
Yes.
And you can buy as many prints as long as supplies last.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Limited supply.
Act fast.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history babes.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie.
I'm Ginny, and we are the art history babes.
And today we have a very special guest.
We do.
Hi, I'm Kate. That's me. I work for Museum Heck. I've been a renegade tour guide there for about 2 years and do some also other creative consulting projects for them. Museum Heck is, if you haven't heard of us, non-traditional museum.
Tell everyone about it.
Yeah.
Tell us all about Museum Heck.
So we, Museum Heck, we are specializing in cheers.
That would be a good tagline.
We do drink sometimes on our tours with our guests, obviously, not just in the bathrooms like weirdos.
Does the tour guide tank?
Like,
oh my God. That would make for a great tour, though.
Right? But that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of what we go for, like a drunk version of a tour, kind of like drunk history. If people are really familiar with that, it's like but in the museum
drunk
experience.
Drunk history led to this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, really for reals?
Yeah. Oh,
it really
great.
Did.
I love me some drunk history.
No, Corey stayed with me for a bit around Christmas time our first year of grad school, and we just watched drunk history
for hours.
Like it's back to back
for
to back.
Hours. Like it was amazing. Oh, I love that show so
much.
Yeah. You speak in our language.
The episode about Lewis and Clark.
Yeah.
Favorite episode. So good.
There's so many good ones.
The Dolly
I don't know
Parton
if I can
one's
pick a
really
favorite.
Good too.
I like the pinball one. The pinball machine one that like
I don't think
were
I have.
Super like outlawed in like the 70s, so they thought it was gambling, and one guy had to like prove that he could like be like, I'm gonna put this pinball in this pocket to prove that it wasn't gambling.
Oh my God.
He had to prove it was a sport.
It was insane.
That
they
is
like literally
hilarious.
Put pinballs in like a mass grave, like pinball machines in New York. It was ridiculous.
People are so weird.
It's crazy.
There was a really cool pinball exhibit at Chabot Space and Science Center. Have you been there?
Not recently, no.
I hadn't either.
Okay.
I went there a lot as a child for camps. But they had a massive pinball exhibit, And they had like all these antique pinball machines. And a lot of them are like really incredible, just in like the graphics and the themes and all the lights. And then you can like go around and play them. There were like very serious pinball people there. And I was just not serious, kind of like goofing off, like, yeah. Like
spastically hitting the buttons. That's what I do.
There are people. I know there's someone in California who does it that refurbish old pinball machines and make them like personalized for companies and like other rich people.
Wouldn't that be great to have Silicon Valley thing? I know. To have like I bet Facebook has one.
Probably many. An art history babes pinball machine.
I love it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd be so good. Yeah. We could put a rabbit on the ball so as it goes around, it looks like a rabbit. Just so donate to our Patreon so we can get a pinball machine.
Yes.
It's very important.
Never have we given a better reason for you to donate.
I don't even know where we would put it.
Yeah. Just have to tote
but
it around.
It would be good to have.
It would be. But yeah.
But Museum Hack.
Museum Hack. So, wait, can you give us kind of a rundown of Museum Hack, what it's about for those listeners who may not be familiar?
Sure. Yeah. So it was founded by this guy named Nick Gray back in like 2013-ish. And he had been living in New York for a long time and went on a date with somebody to the Met. And we always joke that like, he found love, but not with the girl, like in the museum. I know it's the worst, like, dad joke.
No, I saw the TED talk.
Oh my God,
we talk about it today.
But it was really true because she was kind of like you guys, like an art history baby.
Yeah.
And she was talking to him about these objects in a way he had never like experienced before.
Gotcha.
He always thought museums were like kind of, you know,
stuffy.
Like stodgy. Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You had to have like a degree in order to appreciate things. Mm-hmm. And she was just like talking to him like a friend would. He thought that was really cool. And then he started giving tours just to his friends on the weekends. It was something like 10 things I would steal from the Met and like one thing I'd burn or something. And so
nice.
It was very irreverent and quick, you know, because the Met is gigantic.
Right.
And then a blogger came on and loved it and then just kind of like it kind of just grew from there.
Wow.
So we offer, just like an alternate experience if you're not into docent tours or if you've already done docent tours and you're like, let's see what else
something
is out
different.
There.
Something different.
Create experiences where we focus on storytelling. We like, we're kind of naughty in the museum. So like we're loud and we play games and we curse and like do things you're not supposed to do.
Right.
Just for a new audience.
Yeah.
Bringing new people into the museum.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're awesome. Museums are fucking awesome. That's
yes. Right.
And like, we believe that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I know you guys already do.
Oh, right.
100%.
Right. And I feel like a lot of what museums struggle with too are like bringing in different kinds of people and more people, especially like younger groups or people who aren't necessarily into like fine arts and history. So things like Museum Hack that kind of like bring in new audiences they might not have otherwise. More museums need to get on board with it, but they will.
Agreed.
They will.
They're starting to.
So, because there's only a handful of Museum Hack locations.
Yes. Yeah.
Where are all of those?
Yeah. So we were in New York. That was the first one. Then DC.
Okay.
San Francisco was the third.
Nice.
I know, right? Woo. Top three. and then we have Chicago and LA.
Cool.
And we're talking about new places every year. We talk, we talk about opening new spaces.
Okay.
And so we're looking at Atlanta. That's where our founder is from. And there's some great
museums. Oh, there. For
I
sure.
Love that.
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly where we're talking about. Yeah.
That'd be very
but
cool.
But yeah. So who knows in the future? But
yeah.
Ones right now. Yeah.
Nice. So talking about San Francisco, can you tell people what museums Museum Hack
I would
into?
Love to.
Yes.
We're
we do
in the
have
DeYoung.
Some Bay Area listeners.
We're at the DeYoung Museum primarily. So that was like our first museum.
Nice.
That's one where we do the public tours and then all of our themed tours are there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to like draw people into museums that wouldn't.
Yeah.
Normally we do like theme tours. So one of them is the Badass Bitches of the DeYoung, and it's like feminist views of museums and how women are represented.
Yeah.
And you guys would destroy that tour. It would be amazing. You'd be like, I already know all this stuff. Like, you could lead it.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be great.
Oh, that would be fun.
You should come. Yeah.
I will. Yeah.
We could do an art history museum hat collabo.
Oh, that'd be so fun. That'd be awesome. Yeah. So that one, yeah, we just talked about the representation of women in museums. It was inspired by the Gorilla Girls campaign.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And they were like, everybody's naked is a woman, but there's no women artists. Yes. That's the problem, guys.
Yeah.
We're doing a Harry Potter tour right now at the DM, which is so fun.
Yeah.
So
like tell me more about that.
How does this happen?
How does that work? Yeah. Does that consist
it's like my job to figure out how the fuck do you do that? Like, what does that mean? So we
just
do,
like, put you in like a random situation. Harry Potter.
Throw it at me. I'll figure it out. So we do we kind of do just an introduction to Harry Potter very generally, like that we love it and we're all nerds about it as well. And we kind of see it in the museum. We sort people into their houses and we use specific examples either of like the art that you see or an artist to be like, this is an example of a Ravenclaw or like a whatever.
Oh.
And we just kind of tell the story that way.
Got it.
You sort into your house.
Yeah.
You get a little swag to like be officially in your house.
So
and
amazing.
Then we test you in like an OWL type competition. Yeah.
Nice.
To where we like test your wizarding nerd knowledge.
I have a friend who would love this.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's limited. So it's only through the end of the year. So they got to like get on it.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It's very like VIP.
Oh, that's cool.
That's
cool.
Yeah, I know. That's exciting.
Yeah.
That sounds very fun.
I don't
know. It's so many people that would be in.
So fun.
That.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to sort people into their houses?
No. So we kind of let people do that themselves. Yeah. Cause like I have very strong feelings about my house and we were like, we don't want to like.
What house are you?
Can you guess? Any guesses?
Oh.
Don't say Slytherin.
No,
I'm
Gryffindor. No, I'm a Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Hufflepuff.
Okay.
Okay.
I like people. I have feelings.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So
I think you would be a Hufflepuff.
Okay. This is the
I've
thing
gotten
about me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
This is intriguing.
This is intriguing. So most people pin me as a Hufflepuff.
Okay.
Like some of my closest friends. Like.
Is there a reason?
I really care about people and I'm very friendly and I do.
Cute animals make her cry.
Every time. I'm just very sensitive, but I also just like, Hufflepuffs are very.
Loyal.
They're loyal and they
fair
care.
Play.
I think they're really balanced. I think they're like very, They get a bad rap for being.
They do.
Like.
Stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they're not. I think they're like the most like mentally healthy of all
yeah.
the houses,
yeah.
to be honest. But so I've gotten that from like so many of my friends, including like, you know, like my ex-boyfriend that I was with, you know, at the time, like everyone thought I was a Hufflepuff. And then Pottermore came out.
Oh, yeah.
And there's the quiz.
Official, yeah.
The official quiz. And at first I wasn't so sure about my result, but after much, deliberation, I was like, "Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I'm actually a Slytherin."
All right, be proud.
I am proud, but it's just I told one of my really good friends that, and she was like, "So you were the Slytherin that everyone thought was a Hufflepuff, and I can't think of anything more dangerous than that."
Well
like,
said.
Fair.
Yeah.
No, I am proud of my house. I grew into it.
Nice. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I'm a. What's the combination like?
Slytherpuff. I love it.
Slytherpuff.
Yeah.
They should start doing that. You know, they have cuspers on astrology. They should have that.
Exactly,
for
right?
Harry Potter, because sometimes you're a little bit above. Yeah.
Exactly.
I feel like now we need to know what Nat is.
Yeah, what do you have?
I've taken the Pottermore quiz two times, and like both were very far apart.
You can do that?
Yeah, because I use a different email address.
Because
I wanted to check. So the first time I took it, I got Hufflepuff, which I was kind of surprised by. Because I am nice, but I'm also edgy sometimes.
Nice doesn't mean boring.
So excited to hear what that next word was going to be.
Edgy.
You know, edgy. And then I took it a second time and I got Ravenclaw.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I think there were certain aspects of both that resonated with me. But I also, like, friends that I've talked to that like really, really are into Harry Potter have been like, oh yes. Like our friend Christina, she's like so into it. And she's like, yes, Hufflepuff, cause you're loyal and you are, you know, this and that. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know if I know enough to be like yay or nay to either one, but maybe I'll use a third email and
<It's>
best out of three.
Yeah.
Watching all the houses at different occasions.
All right.
just depends on my like current phase in life.
Right.
You are
That's
very
also true
warm.
Though. Like where you are in your life, maybe that changes what helps you.
Could be.
That's very true. You are like very warm like Hufflepuffs though. I think you make people like feel at ease.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I have no idea. I've never taken it.
Oh, we gotta.
Maybe after this.
We have to.
How long does it take?
Not long.
Okay.
We have to guess though. What do I think Nat is? Oh my God, you're hard.
I don't know. See, I was realizing in that conversation that I don't know enough to peg people.
You're probably either
Gryffindor or Ravenclaw.
I was thinking Ravenclaw, or you could be. I think you have maybe the soul of a Hufflepuff, even though like you don't always come off that way.
Yeah,
right
Hufflepuff
away.
Center.
That's fair.
Yeah, you have a milky Hufflepuff center.
Yes,
all of these things. I don't even know what to call them.
I know, right?
They sound like candies. Like
they
weird,
really do.
Candies.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have you take the test afterwards, and I don't know. We'll put it up on Instagram or something.
Well, yeah, or you can come on the tour, and then we can give you examples, and you'd be like, okay, I feel like this one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's whatever artwork you
attached. Oh, that would be a fun one to pick if we sat down and looked at artwork that we
and sort them into houses. It was fun. So that's how we kind of like developed this tour.
Right.
Part of it. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Think about these artists. Totally. In a Hogwarts house. Yeah. Weird and nerdy and fun.
Oh my God.
When you first said it, I was thinking of like the moving paintings, and I was like, how does this work? Like, do you guys have people like
portraits
talk?
We're actually magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there are definitely portraits in the De Young that seem kind of Hogwartsy portraits where you think they're gonna move.
Colonial.
So
we play that's like an example of like when we get naughty. So
yeah,
we play a murder
good.
Game in that room. Where murdered us, and we have to figure out which one it is.
Ooh.
And it's like a creative challenge, and they like try to use things within the paintings to be like, oh, well, he's hiding his hand. You know how like colonial people
tuck it in between
what
the buttons.
That about? Do you guys know? Is that like a history thing?
I do not know. It might be just something where it's like something to do with your hand to make like the pose more dynamic and less rigid.
Cool,
it very well could have been. Yeah. I'm kind of like bullshitting, but I think it comes from a certain point of minuscule fact. But because you know, like hands in the pockets, maybe too casual. Mm-hmm. Just putting a hand in your vest is more.
Dignified.
You know.
Yeah, maybe. I know, and it's probably one of those things that where like someone did it. And then everyone else just started doing it, maybe. Yeah. It
I kind of want to look into it, though.
Yeah.
Make a little note.
Yeah.
I'll listen.
It's a good question.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anyone else out there knows, can write into us.
Someone. I feel like somebody has dived deep into that question.
Right.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's probably one of those ridiculous things where it's... So there's so much symbolism in it where I bet someone wrote about it, and it has to do with like referencing a Roman god and fidelity, but also infidelity and
manliness.
The sublime. I don't know. You know, it's like all kinds of crazy shit.
It just means everything.
You just don't get it.
I'm going to look into it, and it's going to become a rabbit hole of weird symbolism. But it'll be good.
Most likely.
That's what you get.
I didn't finish telling what other museums we're at.
All
the tangents.
As long as we circle back.
Cool. We get there.
We get there.
So De Young primarily, but we're also in the Asian Art Museum.
Nice.
The Musée Mécanique, which we do, that's a vintage arcade in the Fisherman's Wharf. That one's really fun and different.
I have never been there.
Oh, you got to go. That one's cool. There's some, because there's games from like the 1800s. Things moving a little.
Right.
Like, that was amazing back then. And then the USS Hornet sometimes. That one's hard to get to. But that one's fun because you can like touch everything.
Oh,
right?
My God.
And, like, it's a warship, so like no one cares.
I've been on
great.
That ship so many
times. It's crazy haunted.
Yeah. Yes. I was just going to ask you if you've ever encountered spirits.
I haven't, but we talk to a lot of docents and like people there, and they everybody has a story. And it seems too creepy to like be a coincidence or like the same story happens.
Right.
But they're not like scary ghosts because they're like in the military. So.
You know, they're just cruising. Around
they're
the
just
ship.
Doing their
very
duty,
you know. They're
doing their
just going
duty.
On night watch,
right,
and
like doing their jobs,
prepping the kitchen.
Exactly.
I used to go on the USS Hornet all the time. Yeah, you know, doing their American duty.
They're just doing
from beyond the veil.
Yeah,
I love this visual right now.
I wonder if
that's what it's like beyond the veil, if there's still like territories and countries.
People are still battling.
They're like stuck in the time period.
Oh man. I assumed not, but that's interesting to imagine that it is still that way.
I know, right?
Whoa.
Interesting.
So how did you end up a museum hack tour guide?
Wow.
How did you find your way to mm-hmm. museum hack?
Okay, I'm trying to think about what people actually care about. Like, not my whole, well, I was born in 1990. So I was working at UC Berkeley. I was doing like public health research, and I was like, I could do this for the next 10 years, or I could just do something totally different and crazy.
Yeah.
And I found Museum Hack actually on Craigslist. And they said all you needed was to love museums, which mm-hmm. I was always that weird kid anyway.
Yeah.
And be comfortable talking to people. And mm-hmm. I checked both those boxes. So I applied. You kind of go through like an audition process.
Okay.
Cause they have to make sure
you're personable.
Yeah, it's a
that.
Performance, yeah. if you yeah. think about it.
No, kinda. Totally.
A persona, yeah, mm-hmm. that you have to have. And that took a long time because they were still flying back and forth from New York. They were just setting it up. So yeah. that yeah. took a little while. But we have kind of like a breakdown of metrics you have to meet. So you have to do like okay. a 3-piece tour first, and then you graduate to like the next level and the next level. And your final audition is like, okay, you're a guide now, and you yeah. can go yeah. off and do your things. So,
nice.
Yeah. So all of my art history stuff is kind of self-taught. We just do all of our mm-hmm. research on mm-hmm. the internets. Like, we don't have a secret museum hack Bible of secrets. We talk to guards a lot. They have the best secrets,
about
the
museum.
Oh my God. They're the best. Yeah. And, yes. And it's been about 2.5 years now. So
nice.
Yeah.
It's I love crazy. that was how they set up the job up or like the job requirements, because yeah. looking for jobs is so stressful, and I feel like they want you to have all of these crazy things. Like, I love the simplicity of you can talk to people right. and you like the space,
right?
Yeah,
like that's such a that's yeah. amazing.
Seriously. Like, they kind of teach you everything else.
Yeah,
it was great. So
nice. Cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And so do you guys have like a little headquarters in the Bay Area, or is it all just kind of like off the grid?
Yeah, we're underground. Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have an official headquarters mm-hmm. In any of our cities, really.
Okay.
It's because we're just like floating between right. these museums right, most right, of the right. time. We do have just like our team here, and okay. we meet, you know, a lot. We have meetings and
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
like a normal company, but we did do it mostly through Skype or Zoom yeah, yeah, or yeah. whatever. Yeah, so not really.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess we think of the museums as our like
fair
home base. Yeah.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah, you probably know those museums like the back of your hand.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And having meetings on the USS Hornet is really
fun.
Cool.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
I used to go there a lot as a youth because I wanted yeah. a ghost experience. It never happened.
Oh, aww. No. Did you like stay the night? Because you can stay the
no,
night.
No, I didn't. Yeah. Like, I remember the only people that really stayed the night there from my like childhood recollections were the Boy Scouts. Mm. I think I also would have been too scared. Well, hard to say.
Yes.
I think in the light of day, I would have been like, yes. And then as soon as the sun touched down beyond the bay, I would have been like, take me home. But, you know.
You could still go. Yeah.
I know.
And do a sleeper.
I didn't know Museum
party.
Hack was there either.
Yeah.
Oh,
that one's hard to
yeah.
get to. So it's
yeah.
not like our most like prominent one. Because
right.
there's like literally nothing
right.
out there.
Right.
Except like Google has like a test center out there and tests like some weird like satellite plane. It was kind of freaky. Yeah. It's on the internet. It's not secret or anything.
I don't want anything to do
with
that.
But it's like this weird like airplane up to like something about electricity. I don't know. Yeah.
Scarier than ghosts.
No, yeah. Some weird yeah. shit goes
some
on at
Google
the Navy
shit.
Base.
Yeah.
It has been that way for a long time.
Right.
It just continues to be that way.
I feel like that's a setting for a lot of scary movies or like superhero movies is like it all starts at some
right.
secretive military base
totally.
And then
yeah.
it just goes to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point.
It's also where I learned how to drive.
Oh, cool.
Out in Alameda?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But anyways.
Have you, because I know you guys can make your own tours, mm-hmm. have you made your own tours? Or
Yeah. So
nice.
So pretty much all of the tours that I do are like I come up with myself. We say each tour guide is the CEO of their own tour. That's like another little saying we have.
Cool.
Because we, yeah, there's no like overlords of Museum Hack being like, you have to talk about this and this and this.
Okay.
Like, no, mm-hmm. It's totally up to you.
Nice.
It's what you find passionate, because we find if you're more excited about it,
then other people are into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that'll come off.
Cool.
So we did a Game of Thrones tour earlier this year. I came up with that one.
Nice.
With some assist from another coworker. Mm-hmm. Harry Potter tour. Just kind of all of them. Sometimes we mind meld mm-hmm. our whole team together, so we'll each take a couple pieces and then create it together.
Okay.
But it's nice. Usually, yeah, team SF.
Created. Yeah.
Yeah.
What, do you have a favorite that you've done in the past or doing? Or
like a favorite piece or a favorite tour?
Tour. Oh, oh piece too. Those are, yeah.
That'll be the both. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So hard.
I know.
A favorite tour. I kind of just like doing, we call it the unhighlights tour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really no theme. It's just whatever I feel like talking about that mm-hmm. day. And it's mm-hmm. really like, sometimes I can like improvise with whoever I'm talking to and yeah. find out what they're into and be like, oh, let's go see this piece
nice.
And do that. So those are the ones where I feel, I guess, most like creatively free,
right? Right.
Just like bounce yeah. around or whatever.
Yeah.
The theme tours, you do have to stick to a theme.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say just no theme.
Yeah.
Unleashed.
That makes sense. Yeah. Having the freedom to just totally. See what you're yeah. feeling that day
exactly.
and roll with it.
Some days I don't feel like talking about, I don't know, like Inuit myths. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. fair. You have that
don't
right.
Make me. Yeah.
Totally. How, like, in terms of the size of groups that you yeah. take on tours, what's kind of the range of groups, like max to minimum?
Sure. So on the tours, we try to keep it under 10.
Okay.
That's nice. Another thing yeah. we try to like stick yeah. to is like smaller groups. So
for sure.
Here, and we make it like a social experience. So you can yeah. actually like nice. Talk to people and like maybe make a friend,
yeah.
on this tour.
Yeah.
For events though, because we do corporate events sometimes, like offsites and team buildings, we've done giant groups, but
yeah.
we usually have like stations where we kind of rotate them through like a scavenger hunt. And
gotcha.
A tour
gotcha.
And then a bunch of other crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
So the biggest one we've ever done. Like 150 people.
Whoa.
Yeah. And that was at the DM.
I didn't know you guys did corporate. Yeah, that would be.
That was a day.
That yeah. is tough. That is tough.
So yeah. many people.
Yeah.
So many
people. Yeah. It's just like, it's half people hurting. Yeah. Which
yeah.
is where the, do you get along with people and can talk
yeah.
to them?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Exactly. And it can be really hard. Like being in a museum and leading a tour, especially mm-hmm. when other people are there that are not like a part of your tour and
oh,
they
yeah.
kind of glob on
oh,
or
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
it gets congested. You're in like a weird corner where there's like a stand and then a sculpture there and people have to kind of like meld around it.
What kind of
it.
Tours do you go on?
Yeah, I think, I think Ginny is reliving a very vivid experience.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Yes, to a certain
was
degree.
That a real tour you went on though?
Yeah,
you got
and
stuck
I
behind
also
something?
Yeah,
Ginny got trapped.
What's that about?
I'm remembering we got, as in like our department in grad school, got like a tour at the Legion of Honor for a special exhibition that they had from the curator, and it was like the closing day of the exhibit, so it was super packed. The tour was great and the curator was great, but it was really crowded and these like random people kept like kind of globbing on to it, which was fine,
sure.
but it just made it like big and sort of like awkward to move around.
And then they started getting in front of all of
us. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. But.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
Because you do. You want people to enjoy the art and
right.
experience it, but you're like,
right.
I'm here for a reason. Yeah. Like, get out of the way.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, I interned at the De Young 2 summers ago.
Oh, nice.
And they have the Museum Ambassador Program.
Yes. Incredible program.
So, yeah, really cool. Been around forever. It's great. But with that, you know, you have like little kids, and for that, you can just tell them like sit down on the ground,
yeah, right.
So that made things easier. But you can't really do that as effectively with adults. But no, it's very impressive to me that Museum Hack is like able to like have it be so interactive mm-hmm. and still like kind of harmonize with the space, because it's not always easy to do that in museum
true.
Settings.
Yeah.
And kudos to De Young for being cool and
yeah.
daring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you either at De Young or know of at the other mm-hmm. Museum Hack locations, as you talked about, like Museum Hack is about like you can be loud and it's supposed to be like outside the normal museum etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
Have you run into issues with the institutions? Does that happen a lot?
Yes and no. Like, because within the institution, there are people who like this this philosophy and want to move forward. And then there's people who don't, who think museums should be like a mausoleum and you have to like pray there and shit.
Seriously.
And we piss those people off. So, for the De Young, no, generally they've been fantastic. Sometimes it just takes a while, I think, to get used to us. Like, this is our style.
Right.
But like, we're gonna protect the art. We're gonna protect the museum. Like, we're here to like cheer you on. And once they understand that, then they like totally back off.
Absolutely.
And they're cool about it.
Yeah.
But I have had just like other patrons come up and tell me like, you shouldn't be like saying fuck in front of this painting. And I'm like, oh,
that is the goofiest.
Yeah. No.
That's the goofiest shit ever. The painting doesn't care.
Exactly. That's how I get so, or like if we laugh really loud, that's the thing. The only thing I get angry, like if we're laughing sometimes we get shushed, and I'm like, it's not hurting
it's not
hurting anything.
It's not a library.
Some
you don't
have
to be
have
quiet
that reaction in a museum.
Some people are rather joyless and they really don't like other people being joyful.
They're like, they're to contemplate shit and like
for real. I feel like even, I mean, we haven't gotten too much kind of negative feedback like for our podcast, but we definitely get some people that are like, you know, not on board for all of the giggling.
Sure.
And it's like, we like to giggle.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
It's a human reaction.
Like, it means we're having a good time.
Exactly.
And we enjoy what we're talking about.
Right.
And if it really bothers you that much, like, maybe you should ask yourself why it bothers you. But like, like same in a museum, like, I don't know. When I see people enjoying themselves, I'm like, look at how happy those people are.
Yeah.
Like, that should be a positive thing.
Definitely.
I would think.
And if you want to have like a super introspective, quiet museum experience, you can still find that and just go in another room or like have headphones and listen to
you know, our
trance
tours
music.
Are so fast paced, so we're gonna be gone in like 5 minutes.
Totally. Totally.
So, yeah.
No, honestly, that's a great call. Like, because I definitely have times where I just want to zone out at a museum.
For sure.
Agreed. And I
put in some earbuds.
Some like electronic music and I just like zone out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's going on around me.
No.
Like you're in your own little world at that point.
Mm-hmm. But like you said, like the people who want to get unhappy about it and who want to get upset will. And that's just their nature. And they'll find a way, whether you guys are having fun or someone else is doing something.
Totally. They're gonna. And clearly museums need to broaden the scope of people that come into museums. Like they want, it's not just, if it were only people that wanted to come in there and be very quiet and, you know, get upset if people are being loud around them, then museums would all be out of business.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they
true.
Need wider audiences.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do. And just generationally, like, our generation likes to have a good time.
Yeah. So, like, we're very experience focused. And that's like what we're trying to give people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this is an experience you can only have with us in this museum. Let's like do it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Totally. So speaking of the De Young, what are some of your favorite pieces? You can narrow it down to three.
Three? Oh my God, there's so many. Okay. Well, definitely my favorite. It's Iron Workers Noontime by Thomas Pollock and Schütz. It's a bunch of burly men. I don't know if it's on my actual iPad. We do a lot of iPad usage
on
tours too, just to like give paintings context and like put faces to names. We find it really helps people to like make the story fuller. It's a bunch of like burly dudes. It's in the American wing. I have a lot of family connections to it.
Interesting.
Yeah, so my great grandfather was an iron worker.
Okay.
He was an iron worker in the same place that painting was painted.
Wheeling,
West Virginia.
Definitely
not on a place you should like visit. Liz, but, I mean, no, it's great. It's cute. That's all it was just like industrial workers. And he immigrated here when he was really young. He didn't have any English or education really. Mm-hmm. And so like labor was kind of all that he could do. And when Thomas Pollock Anschutz painted that, it was like blowing people's minds. Because it was kind of the same way that museum had like brings like the ruffians in.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm. It's a big
people.
Deal.
Yeah. We're like, we don't want to see like the commoner. Like,
the common people.
Ugh, yeah. Like gross.
The plebeians.
Yeah. Like we don't want to see how shitty their lives are. We just want to like exploit it. Guys. Come on. So that was like really important to me and special that he took the time to do it. And then there's a whole like behind the scenes gossip story between Anschutz and Thomas Aikens that we talk about. Because like Anschutz was definitely a repressed homosexual.
Okay.
And the picture that you see, it's yeah. like a lot of buff, sexy dudes. Like,
yeah.
like, obviously. And then yes. He and Thomas Akins had like a mentor-mentee thing going on.
Okay.
But like, it was a little more than that mm-hmm. sometimes, a lot of people think. Mm-hmm. And then on either side of Anschutz's paintings are two Thomas Akin paintings. So I think... Oh. Like the curator, like it's that's their
oh,
little like,
that's clever. Like
oh. it's a little yeah. wink and a nudge.
Yeah, exactly. Ah. Yeah, curators. There's this amazing thing. It's called the loincloth incident that happened between them, and
it sounds
it's
great.
Literally sassy. Called the
it's called the loincloth incident. Yeah, like more clickbaity you could not get. Yeah, like yeah. it's so good. Yeah, so Akins was teaching a nude modeling class or mm-hmm. whatever. And there's a male nude guy, but he had a loincloth covering his bits because yeah. it was 1886.
Right.
But he was like, it's an art school and we're all artists. So like, take it off. And he did. And like, it was not good.
Oh my God.
Like it was a bunch of chicks and like, oh, they don't like seeing strange yeah. penises in 1886. Yeah. They don't like seeing penises at all in 1886. Yeah. He started getting called like a pervert and like, he shouldn't wow. teach kids. And so, Thomas Anschutz led the campaign to get him fired, and then took
Whoa.
His job. And then they used to live next door to each other, and Anschutz moved across
what?
The city, so he never had to run in. So I'm pretty sure all those things are indicative of a breakup. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I think the male nude model was also doing some other things, and yeah. Anschutz found out Ooh. And got pissed at his like mentor lover.
Whoa.
Man. Yeah.
That
yeah.
is scandal. Drama.
It's drama. Yeah, seriously. So Whoa. Scandalous. Yeah. Akins was scandalous. So like all the time, he had all sorts of crazy love stories, but yeah. that's just one of them. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wow. So that one's, yeah, that one's my favorite, even though I'm pretty sure if I told my great grandfather that story, like he'd be like, what?
Yeah.
That's what you think of when you're like, come on. Like, great.
Oh my God.
gosh. And then the two more. Cornelia Parker, Anti-Mass is mm-hmm. a really
Ooh, yeah.
feelings one. Like mm-hmm. so many feelings. I love her just generally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that she likes puns a lot.
I know,
that's
right?
my favorite. Yeah. yeah. So Anti-Mass is definitely one. And that one's, it's so, like I like art you don't have to know a lot of story about to, mm-hmm. to get it. And I think that's one that you,
totally.
You feel something, whether
yeah.
it's related to the story.
Yeah.
Or not, you
yeah.
feel something.
Yeah. Love those. Gut emotional.
Yeah, exactly.
For
really
sure.
visceral. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then, gosh, a third one. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Well, how about we take a quick break yeah. and you can think about the third one.
I love it.
Perfect. Great.
Great.
Hey, Nat. Did you know that the FDA doesn't require tampon companies to disclose a list of the ingredients in their tampons?
That's pretty horrifying.
yeah, so major brands use synthetic ingredients and harsh chemical cleansing agents, whereas Lola is 100% cotton and BPA-free.
And for those of you who are a little more environmentally conscious and don't even want to use the applicator, they make applicator lists, they make various sizes, and panty liners for those who
yeah.
want them. And yeah, you can customize your subscription so you can get exactly what you need, you know, in the right sizes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it gets delivered directly to your door, so you don't have to worry about like...
Lazy girl's dream.
Exactly. Don't have to worry about running off to the store because they will be there every month at your door. Also, $5 off your first box.
Come on, guys. Can't beat that.
Pretty exciting. Head on over to trymylola.com/babes. That's B-A-B-E-S. And start your subscription today.
Go, guys. Do it.
We're back talking to Kate from Museum Hack.
Yes.
We left off and you had told us two of your three favorite mm-hmm. pieces from the De Young. Did you decide on number three?
I did. It's hard to pick favorites because they're all mm. fantastic. And it is depending on like how I'm feeling that day. But
For
this
sure.
is definitely one I get excited to talk about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Yes. So it's by Kane Kwei. And it's a coffin.
Dope.
Yes. And in Ghana in the like 70s, it became really cool to have a what they called a fantasy coffin. And it was customized shape. based on like your hobbies or your job or whatever. And Kanye Gui was like the first one to like do this and revolutionize it. Mm-hmm. It started with, I think, like a friend or something had an uncle that was a fisherman, and he's like, can you make a coffin in the shape of a fish? And everybody just like lost their fucking minds over it. Yeah. And so, and that was his business. And like, he can make anything you want. That's a coffin.
That's a
coffin.
That's a
for a
sneaker.
Person.
I know. Sneaker.
It's a Spalding sneaker.
Yeah. What person is that a coffin?
I don't know. Right. So it would be like maybe an athlete or like a shoe salesman or something. It's like a Coke bottle.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
It's a car. Maybe you're like a mechanic. So like a driver. This one you can like know how to get in.
So many questions.
That's how you get in. You like get in. Right?
So
like,
I feel like this would
Wait, there's one more. This one's my favorite because it's so dated. It makes me want to die.
A Nokia phone.
Right. I wish that they had like a snake on it though. It's the.
Is that the Adam?
Sistine's, touching
the hand of God.
The hand. Yeah.
So this is a coffin that is shaped like a Nokia cell phone circa OG.
Like 2000,
like
2005.
Yeah.
Those buttons.
Yeah, even earlier. Yeah, it has real buttons. That's how old it is. Yeah.
Oh,
we had these things called buttons. Yeah. So
I mean, this is before flip phones. So
yes.
Probably,
oh, yeah. Way before.
2000, 2001. Yeah. In there.
So that one's cool. And if people are down, I always ask them what shape coffin they would want. But some people get nervous of acknowledging their mortality.
I'm so nervous.
I have to like read the group first. Yeah, exactly.
What shape coffin would you have?
Okay, I think I would do a bottle of olive oil because I'm Greek, and so it's like coming out of me anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like it would like preserve me better than like formaldehyde.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird way to think about it.
Yeah. So,
I'm
into
that one
it.
For sure.
That
what about you guys?
Sense.
There's so many. Like he could literally make you anything. Yeah.
Oh shit.
That like.
Like, I want to say a bottle of wine, but that just makes me feel like a true alcoholic.
I'm like, going in the grave.
I mean, I've been drinking wine since I was 16, and it's still my drink of choice.
Yes.
Like, I just, it's been.
It's true. That does fit you. Every time, like, we all drink a ton of wine, but every time we go out, like, we'll be getting, like, cocktails and stuff, and Nat is always still
like a
wine.
Purist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Pretty much every time.
Matthew and I drink it every night.
Nice. Yeah.
My boyfriend sells wine.
Oh,
wine
that's,
is just,
I'm sure that helps.
It's my whole.
You need to be buried in a bottle.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Agreed. White or red?
Red.
Nice.
Yeah. Definitely red. Oh my God. What would my coffin
be? Out of all the things on earth. Yeah, yeah. It's like, what am I going to? And it's so permanent too, right?
Right.
It's your coffin. Yeah.
I feel like mine would be like a giant stuffed animal.
I was thinking
like spiral jetty. Like if you could do like something that was like spiral jetty-ish.
Whoa.
I don't even know how that would work.
That would be amazing.
But that could be
Yeah.
Cool.
So, okay. Yeah. Something either cute and fuzzy or something very like natural.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Some kind of weird rock formation.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That would be, oh my God. Just
That'd
bury
be beautiful.
Just bury me under Spiral Jetty.
Yeah, like,
make
it easy.
Take out the coffin altogether.
It's right there on Salt Lake. You can just throw me in. It's perfect.
Throw you in there.
No, that's actually, please do that.
Okay. But in all seriousness,
putting
like,
it out
make
there.
A
please,
note.
Please do that for me. What about you, Jenny?
I would say, either bury me in like a coffin that resembles a plate of pasta.
Yes. Ooh. Oh, I like it.
Or in an obelisk.
Ooh.
Like a hollowed out one.
That'd
and my
good.
Head would be in,
very, like,
in
powerful.
The tip.
Yeah. Yes. Like looking out.
No, that would be great.
I like
it. I see that.
The tip could be glass.
You oh my God.
My
and that would be the only unburied part. Oh my God. I kind of like it though.
So terrifying.
It would be the creepiest thing.
And you'd have to have that like a little smirk, like a little knowing smirk on your
one
face.
One eyebrow
like,
up.
Frozen.
But yeah, no, this whole piece, like, it's a very interesting example of memento mori that I have not thought
of
or seen
before.
No,
not at all.
It's kind of creepy.
I like it.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's no longer with us, Kanye Gui. He's died. But his son is still running the carpentry shop. So you can, still go get one if you want those things to, like, come true.
So what was his coffin?
Okay, you want to guess?
Yeah. Ooh.
What a guess.
Ooh. Ah.
What shape was Connie Quay's coffin?
Ooh,
wait,
man.
That's not
tools?
Was it just like a regular ass coffin?
It was a coffin shaped coffin. Yeah, nailed it. Yeah. Like, yes, it was a pine box. He had a come to Jesus moment and was like, I just want a pine box because that was like the tradition he wanted to do. But you're kind of right, Natalie, because his coworkers wanted him to like have a little more. Yeah. So they carved some images of his tools on the inside. So only he can see them, which weirds me out. It's like, why did you
That's a, like a very Egyptian take on it.
Right? Like in the next world. Yeah. Very strange. So, but just a pine box. Yeah.
Nice. In all reality, I feel like, Nat, I think you and I have talked about this before, but have you seen those? They're still like in the works. You can't actually get one yet, but those tree pods.
That's how I want to go. Yeah.
Me too. Like, well, instead of being buried in a coffin, which is not great for the world, right, for obvious reasons, like you can be put into a pod. And then they put you in the ground, and then you become a tree.
Yeah, so it like leads off you.
If those circle of life aren't quite working yet, I know one that is the mushroom suit. Have you guys seen the mushroom suit?
What's that about?
Yeah. You guys have to make sure I'm buried in one if I go, because my mom will not do it. She's against it entirely. So if I go before she does, you guys have to get me in a mushroom suit.
Something they actually put your body
in? It's really cool. So I first heard about it through Ted. Okay. They did like a Ted radio hour. I don't even remember what it was about. It must have been about death.
Yeah.
But like they brought on the woman who designed it, and it's like a netting suit. It covers your whole body.
Okay.
And you, they spray it with mushroom spores.
Okay.
And then they put you in the ground, just bare in your suit, and the mushrooms start to grow, and the fungus eats your body. And as it eats you, mushrooms detoxify. They take all the toxins out of your body and process them.
What?
So it's not just like putting you in the ground and letting your toxins seep back in. They're actually processing all the toxins out and like making your body good for soil.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it is really brilliant.
The power of mushrooms. Yeah.
Dude, I watched, I watched a documentary literally 2 days ago on Netflix about mushrooms. And it's nuts. Did you know, like, fungi outnumber plants 10 to 1?
Whoa.
Fungi are everywhere.
It's amazing.
I know, right? It's crazy.
Whoa. 10 to 1.
10 to 1. And they're just like, I know, it's a real, it's an interesting documentary. It's a BBC documentary. And, like some new cancer treatments are based off fungus.
Whoa.
Like,
why not?
Right?
Yeah. Like, it makes sense. They're like superfoods. They're fascinating. Yeah.
They're just like everything.
Fungus
like,
gets a bad rap. But
fungus is life, man.
Yeah. Like, it is.
But no, yeah, the mushroom suit. I'm down. I'm down for that too.
The reason I like
TED Talk's interesting.
Oh yeah.
The reason I like the tree is because it still gives like your loved ones something to visit.
Right.
What if you could do the mushroom suit under a tree? So then like the toxins get worked into the soil, but then the tree grows
I just really like the idea of being like Grandmother Willow from Pokemon.
Yes!
It's fair.
I was thinking more giving tree, but I like that better. Yeah.
I want my grandchildren to come to my willow tree.
Ask you for advice.
Are you buried in your full body or are you burnt up?
No, it's your body. It's not ashes.
Okay.
It's your body in like a pod.
Whoa.
And then it's underground, and then they throw in seeds and other stuff. So that's my ideal coffin, but... Yeah.
Connie Quays would be cool too.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it.
Or his
son. Wouldn't be mad about it.
Yeah.
Maybe we should pivot
veer away
back.
from death.
I know. We talk about death.
Look how excited we are to talk about death.
Yeah, I mean that it addresses it a lot.
I know. Right?
We're dealing with it.
I mean,
yeah. True.
You gotta think about it.
True.
Do you have any fun anecdotes from guiding tours? Like any either fun art history stories or just fun stories from like tours that went awry or anything.
Yeah. A couple of those. Oh my gosh. That's a good question. Like nice anecdotes I hear from just some of our guests. One that always stayed with me was this woman came on our tour and she said that normally after like an hour of standing, her back hurts her too much and she has to like sit down. And she said that over our course of our 2-hour tour, she didn't think about it once, aww, which made me like cry, like, yeah, too. I was like, oh my god, and that, yeah, was really cool.
Definitely.
Another one I always remember for that murderer game that we, yeah, play. Mm-hmm. So I always set it up like I'm the one that gets murdered, so nobody, yeah, gets like freaked out, right? Right, right? And I say like it's in the Twilight Zone, so like don't worry.
Yeah.
And everybody always picks a portrait and how you get murdered. But there was this one like grandpa, and he was like, no, you don't get murdered, you're fine, like everything's fine. Like,
I'm gonna change the story. Yeah, like, we're pivoting the narrative, and you are living,
right?
That was so
very
cute.
Sweet. That, yeah,
that, like, is okay, adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard for like the big events. You definitely have to just be willing to roll with it,
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
I can't remember any like specific anecdotes, but
yeah,
you just, yeah, like sometimes you can't control it. We
right,
build this as a live experience, and like, yeah, the live part comes into play, totally, a lot. Yeah,
totally.
For sure.
Yeah, like just so I had a tour on Saturday at the De Young.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Badass Bitches tour.
Mm-hmm.
And the De Young just got like a last minute grant come in, and they did another community day, mm-hmm, for the Teotihuacan exhibit, which, if, yeah, you haven't gone, if you haven't gone Bay Area, you should go.
I've been meaning to go.
It's,
I gotta go.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, people are traveling from very far. It's, yeah, phenomenal. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're into that stuff. But even if you're not, go check it out.
Yeah.
So they, like, had a big crazy band playing, and, mm-hmm, it was really loud. She was giving, like, so much Selena vibes, though. Like, it was, nice, it was good. But I had to kind of change because,
yeah,
they literally could not hear me on certain stops.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That happens a lot, where you just have to kind of deal with what's going on in the museum.
Yeah.
That you have no control over.
Right.
Definitely. So, but I think that's what makes it fun, too,
yeah,
is that it's,
yeah,
it's very... a unique experience, like this,
right,
is only going to happen on this day, mm-hmm, with, mm-hmm, us kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you guys drink and stuff on, mm-hmm, the tour sometimes. Have you ever had anyone just like
drunk,
just,
people
just go a little overboard?
Almost.
We've learned.
Yes,
we learned. We used to start off with doing drinks first and then the tour, and we do not do that anymore.
Yeah.
We do the tour first and then we end with drinks, and then we,
yeah,
get out of there. Nothing like so terrible. Just like get a little too close to the art, get a,
yeah,
little too rock, like rowdy.
Yeah.
Touching like sculpture garden stuff, that happens a lot. Just because, but that's, it's,
yeah,
out in the,
right,
in the,
in
elements,
the elements,
so people,
yeah,
think that they can touch it. And,
yeah,
not really. Yeah, nothing terrible. No one's,
yeah,
put their hand through a painting. Like, that's still my, like, I'm terrified.
I know
that it's gonna,
right,
happen one day, but like we really try to protect the art, like,
yeah,
this is our job, this is our livelihood,
yeah,
we want a good relationship with the museum, so that is like our number one priority.
Yeah,
yeah.
And,
yeah,
like I said, we've learned so where we can structure it better now, where that we just don't create that situation,
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, not really. Yeah,
nice.
Just loud, crazy people.
Where do,
yeah,
you guys go out for drinks after the tour? Do you go like into the museum cafe for overpriced wine?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. So usually, yeah, we do. We have a relationship with them too.
Yeah,
we like to promote everything museum
wise. For sure.
So yeah, usually in the cafe. Sometimes,
mm-hmm,
though, in the De Young, there's like social brewery and kitchen, social kitchen and brew,
oh,
up on, God, was it 9th Irving? One of them.
Yes.
So we like to go there,
yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That place,
yeah,
is awesome. And there's,
nice,
a couple cool bars around,
yeah,
there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
For the Asian Art Museum, also in the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For the USS Hornet, there's like a... There's
distillery?
Like a, no, it's a brewery. It's a brewery.
It's got
cool art too.
What you're talking about?
Yeah, and they have like the car from Dumb and Dumber. What is it?
I haven't been there in a while.
It's in Alameda. It's a brewery.
Yeah,
we go there sometimes. Yeah, that's all you need to know. And then Musée Mécanique. There's a bunch of bars in Fisherman's,
yeah,
Wharf. We just,
totally,
kind of go to. We like the Gold Dust Saloon. That's the one we go to.
That's
so
a fun one.
It is fun. It's, you get a lot of interesting people in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that the one on the water? That's,
yes,
like,
it's like
really
right
small.
Out front.
No.
It's not really,
no,
small. No.
It's like on the waterfront.
Right.
But like right before you hit Fisherman's Wharf. I don't know what it's called,
oh,
but if in the bathroom they have like
is it
these
that
weird
tiny
little
house looking thing?
Yeah. And in,
oh,
the bathroom,
yeah,
you can get like weird little like sex objects from a vending machine.
What?
But they're not like things you can use. They're just like kitschy kind of jokes.
You've
tried? No. Yes, I did try. So like you'll get like it's like a condom, but then there's like nothing. It's just the ring. So there's,
what,
like no condom part. It's just like weird joke sex gifts.
Huh.
It's, yeah,
very San Francisco.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I love it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Man, I've got to get to the De Young now.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
I haven't, yeah, been in a while, and I've been meaning,
I haven't either,
to go, and I really do want to see that.
What's a while? Like, what's a year?
Like 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the last time I was there.
I'm a member there too. So it's like I have no excuse not to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably been like a year. I love the Terrell out in the sculpture garden.
Yes.
Was it three gems?
That was
three gems.
Three, exactly. Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite meditative spots. Mm-hmm. Like I will drive all the way to the city, just like hang out in that sky space.
Yeah, that's like the unofficial name, right?
Right.
I do know a little gossip about that one. Yeah. The guards, you got to talk to the guards.
Ooh,
yeah.
Tell me.
So James Turrell came to visit it a few months ago, and there was a water pump nearby that he thought was like ruining his experience, and so he made the De Young like reroute their water system to like move the pump. He is such James. A diva. I love him. I love James Turrell. Adore him.
Corey's
that's another piece I do out there, as I talk about the internet rumor between him and Drake. Have you heard that?
Yes.
That they're like, people think they're best friends.
Yes.
But
they're not.
But they're kind of, maybe? Yeah.
Well, like James Turrell was chill about the fact that Drake like Hotline just like ripped him off,
totally
and
ripped him
like,
off.
Like totally ripped him off. Totally. But like James Turrell was like, whatever. Yeah. Like he didn't really.
He's great. Here, I have the quote. He like, because he had to come onto his lawyer's blog to give, because he's like 90, like doesn't know how to release statements.
Dude, older than I always think he's not as old as.
Yeah, well, he doesn't look it.
And well, and his artwork doesn't. It seems like ageless,
right?
Almost.
Yeah,
like,
I'm really like worried though, because Rodan Crater isn't finished yet, and I'm like, bro, finish Rodan Crater.
This is the
official release. From James Turrell. While I'm truly flattered to learn that Drake fucks with me, I nevertheless wish to make clear that neither I nor any of my woes was involved in any way in the making of the Hotline Bling video.
Oh, that is so good.
You can
good.
Just hear God. Me like, God damn it. I can't believe I have to write this.
Right? He's such a G. Yeah. He is such a G.
Well
said. So
what
we talk about is because woes is a word from a Drake song. Yeah, so we're like, wait, are you like tricking us again? Like,
no, I think he's very aware of what he's doing.
He's fantastic.
He's making a hilarious and intelligent joke.
He's fantastic. Yeah.
No, he's great. And I love, just go on YouTube and watch James, like interviews with James Turrell. He is something.
Yes.
We never did go to that chapel he designed at the cemetery in Berlin.
In Berlin, I hear it's amazing.
Oh, fuck.
I know.
We got to go back to Berlin.
I had entirely forgot, because like beforehand I was like, you guys, we got to go. And we were like, yeah. And then we were in Berlin and we forgot, and I didn't remember until I was back in the United States.
Oh. Well, we didn't have 5 seconds to squeeze anything else into that trip.
When were you there? Were you all there?
We were.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
We were there in June.
We went on a Euro trip. If you want to hear more about it, there's
is there a podcast
very
about it?
Long episode
oh,
recounting
cool.
our Euro trip.
Oh, that's right up my alley.
The Euro Babes episode, if you haven't listened to it.
Cute.
It's a fun one.
Yeah. But if you go, we had an amazing tour guide, and we should try and
we
figure out Skype recording.
We were just talking about this earlier.
We were just talking about him today.
Yeah.
Sweet
His
Dave.
His name is Dave, and he gave us a street art and graffiti walking tour of Berlin.
Oh, cool.
And at one point, we like took a break and got beers because you could just walk around with
Germany.
Yeah, yeah. It's Berlin, you know. And it was so cool. And then we all went out for drinks later and just got really, really drunk with him and some Swedish young men.
Yeah.
And just talked
we partied
about
with them
street
all
art
night. Like, it was great.
That's awesome.
And he's lovely, and we need to have him on the show.
Yeah. Good, like, tour guides. For like art things just make such an impact on my life.
Yeah. For real. Like that tour was on another level. Yeah. Like that was one of my favorite parts of the entire
trip. If he ever moves to the States, Museum Hack should like
we'll snatch him up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or if we go international.
Yes.
Right? Start in Berlin.
Because they're called alternative tours. They're alternative walking tours.
Oh, cool.
And they're the like what are those called where you don't pay until the end? So it's like you pay what
like
you think.
By tip or
yeah.
You pay what you think it's worth.
Yeah. I see.
But it was an amazing tour, and it was so like on so many levels, because it's way more than just the art. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
like Berlin we ended itself up, yeah, is so Berlin's fascinating. Crazy.
The history yeah. of that oh city is,
and
like,
he knew so much and like such interesting details that you would never get from a traditional tour. Right. Like, awesome. So in line with like what you guys do.
Totally.
Yeah, that's and we got to experience things that a lot of people will never experience in that city just from this free tour.
I love
yeah.
it.
And I mean, obviously, yeah, we paid him.
We were like, I will. We were you value.
Yeah. yeah, you were wooed. We were like, take all of our money, Dave. You have earned it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it, yeah, we like if you guys end up in Berlin, we should make this connection happen. That'd be fantastic. He would be fantastic.
Why not?
He
really would.
Yeah,
he's great.
Does Museum Hack want to go international at some point?
I think that is like not off the table. Yeah, yeah, like going international, absolutely. Sometimes cool. we do consulting with museums sometimes, okay. mm-hmm. and we have done international versions of that, so where we work with the staff to either help nice. Put on an event, or we just like give them our secret sauce
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
But not like stationed as gotcha. Like a location yet. Right, right, no. right. Yeah, but I mean, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, yeah. Berlin would be a good place to start yes. because yeah, it'd be so like outdoor, because we did right. the open air museum.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which was awesome.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did take it to the wall, I'm sure. And everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's so cool.
We walked all over.
Yeah,
it was very long.
Yeah.
But it was like entertaining the whole yeah. time.
Cool. Yeah.
Dude, I was like the healthiest. Don't realize it. I've been in years in Berlin, because we walked everywhere and we ate at that vegan place yeah. like every day.
True.
We had like these bowls of vegetables,
like macro
in
bowls.
Germany.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Germany's so progressive.
I was just yeah. gonna ask if you guys had currywurst, but I'm guessing not at the vegan place.
Not at the vegan place. But I feel like they probably
but
had.
But we did have like schnitzel yeah. and spätzle.
Oh, nice.
We were
and wieners.
Our hostel so was in like a trendy area yeah. of Berlin, okay. though, and right like there was a corner right down from our hostel that was like, it was a vegan corner.
Yeah,
it was just like
cool.
a vegan market,
shoe
vegan
store.
Yeah, vegan leather store.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. A weird little
and
hub.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we ate at this vegan restaurant every day,
Damn.
And
it's so good.
And I felt so good, and it tasted so good. And then we'd walk all day,
yes.
and I just felt
yeah
very healthy.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Oh, I'm getting very nostalgic for Berlin.
I yeah. know, right? We'll make it back.
Yeah,
yeah, some point. For sure.
How did we get here?
I don't even know.
Just how, you know, alternative kind of tours
yes,
are
right.
great.
End
and
up
Museum Hack
where do
is
you end
great.
Up?
Yeah.
And if you're
and
listening,
people should check it out.
We miss you, Dave.
Yeah. I know. We'll get him on here. I want to go on that Badass Bitches tour.
Yeah.
Awesome. That would be fun. We should awesome. Do that.
That's actually what we're thinking. Once we get into the business of making courses,
nice.
We want our first one to be like a
yeah same
badass women
same
of
theme.
Our history
yeah.
type
yeah.
thing
of modern.
It is needed a lot
yeah
like, it sucks that it's still like a problem and
right.
it's been a problem for a while
yeah
mm-hmm. but yeah just as many people to use their voices to promote
totally.
Female artists
mm-hmm.
like
totally
that would be awesome
yeah
right? yeah
very
it's
true.
Astounding how like little, even in contemporary wings it's like I mean,
I know,
like two,
right?
But there's so many other.
Yeah.
Like,
and the statistics
yeah.
for like women in art school versus
yeah.
men, like, isn't it? It's like 70-30 or something.
What?
It's I don't quote me on that, but
it's something.
There's
like
a
that.
Lot more women than men in art school.
Yeah.
Like wow. getting their MFAs.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers just don't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just need that perspective. Like, it's half
yeah.
have women in this population.
Yeah.
Like, you 51%. Should have, you should have both of those perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more of us, actually.
Yeah. Watch
Look out.
Out.
Did
it's,
you?
It's happening.
Did you guys see that tweet by Conan O'Brien the other day?
No.
It made me really happy. And, I mean, it's been a long time since I've paid any attention
I know,
to Conan
I
O'Brien.
I forgot about Conan O'Brien.
I know, but he had a tweet that was like, I'm ready for the all-female reboot of America.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I was like, I
yes.
love it.
Especially after this week. Jesus Christ.
Oh my
I
God.
I know.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Won't be there, but yeah.
It's rough, you guys.
Gross.
It's gross. It's rough.
It's sad.
Feels
like it punches you in the gut.
I know.
Yeah.
I actually saw this really great yeah. Instagram post like today, and it was a picture of Tom Hanks, and it was like, woman comes out reporting that Tom Hanks was nice to her.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like,
it was like another woman.
Yeah. yeah. He's like, I'm glad Tom hasn't been soiled yet.
Right.
yeah.
He's our sweetheart.
I know.
He can't
yeah.
let us down.
Don't
yeah.
let
Come
us down, Tom.
Yeah.
I do not want to hear that you were a creeper to some unsuspecting female 20 yeah, years ago.
I know.
I believe in you, Tom. Right.
I know.
Yeah. No. Because like most of the ones that have come out, I haven't been that surprised by.
Kevin Spacey. I love Kevin Spacey.
That one was
Kevin
a little
Spacey.
Surprising.
I,
that yeah. one's rough. Not that he's gay, but that.
Yeah.
That
no. Guy, yeah. I don't know. I wasn't like surprised, but I was also like, you play kind of a creepy dude. Like, what was that movie? American Beauty?
Yeah, yep. But he's just an amazing actor.
I know.
But it is kind of weird looking in hindsight. And then like House of Cards, like it is kind of creepy, like how he has these overlaps. It's like, Mara, was he secretly like picking roles that spoke like,
yeesh. Oh my God. He literally was one of my favorite actors.
He's an incredible actor.
I know. I love.
He is.
American Beauty is one of my favorite movies. Adore House of Cards. Like, I mean, I love a lot of movies he's been in. Yeah. He's just been. He has consistently been one of my favorite actors, and now I have to be like, well, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, and then I wasn't super surprised by Louis C.K., yeah. but bummed as shit.
Exactly. Bummed is the right word. Yeah. But I do have to say his response to it, while not ratified. Exactly. That's all you can do at that point. Yeah. So...
Don't
whoever,
try to be like, well, Mary did it. So, like,
exactly.
That you heard that, like, defense of Roy Moore.
Oh, yes. That, Mary and Joseph, and they made Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, what?
So it's okay. So it's okay, guys. Yeah. Like, a legitimate person in charge of shit said that.
Oh,
yeah.
My
like,
God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's cool. Like, are you
so
kidding?
Roy Moore,
I
what
wish
are you
that
doing?
Was more surprising.
Is Joseph?
Yeah,
is that what in this
scenario?
I can't. I can't.
Oh my God. Yeah,
that one infuriated me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty bad.
So again, just own up. Like,
yeah. Completely. Well, and just the fact that he, like, the way that he phrased it, like, at the time, I didn't realize I was using my power. Like, I like that he, the way that he said it, because it needs to be said that way by a man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It needs to be said that way, that, like, because so many people jump to, like, oh, well, if I didn't know I was doing something, I didn't do anything wrong. Or they try and, like, somehow push the guilt aside. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, kind of let the guilt hit him head on and, like, just said, like, I didn't know what I was doing, but now I know what I was doing, and I did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, good. And that's all you can say at this point.
Exactly. Like, and he does, at least from what I got from his statement, like, he doesn't absolve himself from it in any way.
And he doesn't want to. Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to.
So, I mean, it's still...
Yeah, it doesn't make it any better.
I won't be watching Louis C.K. anytime soon,
there was an article that came out that I just read the heading. I was one of those people, but it basically said that it was someone who watched his a series or one of his specials or something since it came out, and they were like, it's not funny anymore. Like, because of what you know,
about,
like, it's like, it just, it makes you, like, sick to your stomach now. Yeah. It's not, it's no longer funny.
That sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah.
So
we got heavy again, guys. What's going on?
It happens. Okay. Yeah. You know? It's a heavy been down. It's a
heavy
down.
Time.
Yeah.
It is. I was just going to say, it's
also
a crazy
true.
Time.
That's true. Yeah.
Go to a museum and
go to a museum and go have some fun. Yeah.
Get drunk and go to a museum. Yeah.
I was actually, because I listened to your Abstract Impressionism podcast, and I was dying of laughter at the surprise Trump. Thing.
Well, that was in
Helen
Frank and
yeah.
Like, did you see it?
I did. Yeah, because I had to Google. I was like, I have to see this
like
now. It really
it?
Does.
It's
very
crazy.
Good. Yeah,
she's just
and
like
there's
a clairvoyant.
Yeah, right. Like she knew it was coming.
Oh no.
There's a piece at the De Young by Viola Fry, who it looks like Trump. It's like one of those things. It's a surprise trunk,
weird.
And it looks like him now, and you can't unsee it
Why
anymore.
Why are there so many surprise trunks?
It's freaky.
Trunks?
It's freaky.
Because
yeah.
he's like a caricature of a person. He's not like a real person, so he fits into shapes.
Did you see
shapes and colors? You can literally simplify it.
It's true.
Into shapes.
You're
and
really
colors.
Right on that.
Did you see his tweet like 2 days ago about
calling Kim Jong-un short and fat?
Yeah.
I would never call him short and fat.
I can't believe he called me old. I mean, like, it's the most childish thing I've ever read. Yeah. I was like, are you kidding
my
me?
My mom
right
was
now?
Telling me about it. She goes, are we in third grade?
Yeah.
Are we?
For real, someone actually has a filter. It was really funny. Someone, there's a filter. You can get it, like, just have to Google it, that turns Trump's tweets into like writing by a child, like in crayon.
Oh,
and they
that's
were like
brilliant.
It's
that is
like it's particularly poignant with this tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
my God. Yeah.
That's so great. It reminds me of, like, those little books you make in kindergarten that you look back when you're older and you're like, haha, like, I was so funny when I was six.
Yeah,
like,
right.
That's our president.
That's it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, while...
Charging the free world.
While he was writing childish tweets, Barack Obama was at jury duty in Chicago because he's a good citizen.
That he is.
I love him.
Love him too.
Yeah.
President forever. Yeah. Maybe forever president.
Right.
Miss him too. I was watching Desus and Mero today and they're like, he's still the president. We're just gonna just go with that. He's just still the
president.
Do you
think if we all just say it, then maybe it'll like it'll just will it into existence?
Yeah.
Like a vision board. A giant totally. Board. Yes.
Totally. Yeah. He's just still the president. It's fine. Yeah. Everything is fine.
Everything's okay.
But do you have anything else about Museum Hack you'd like people to know? Or
we just like to have fun and get weird in museums. And if you're even like a little bit interested in that, definitely come on our tour, check it out. We really do try to have kind of something for everybody. Mm-hmm. So even if you don't think you're a museum person, I think we do a pretty good job of challenging that.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Right on. Yeah, just come check us out.
Yeah. Aww. And we'll put up links, etc. So people can find you guys.
Yes.
And books up tours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you're into Harry Potter, I don't know when this is going to air, but... we're running Harry Potter tours till the end of December.
Right.
And then they will be gone forever.
Before that.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So get on it.
Get on it.
If you're a wizard nerd. Yeah, exactly.
Well, should we do a quick listener mail before we sign off?
Certainly.
Does someone want to read this from Rin?
Sure.
It's a cool name.
Right?
That is a cool name. Hi, babes. I recently discovered your podcast last month, and I fell in love with your passion and excitement for art history, as well as your hilarious commentary on problematic artists. I myself am most likely not going to major in art history because I suck at writing, but because I myself am an artist, not a very good one. I'm only 17 and I have a lot to learn. You're okay. Like, you're okay.
You're fine.
You're young. Like,
don't even worry about it.
I love learning more about the artists that inspire me. As I write this, I'm listening to your Holiday Magic episode, and Kay Nielsen's work is so bitchin'. It really is. It reminds me a lot of John Bowers, whom I was obsessed with when I was littler. You're adorable. changing the subject, I was wondering if you'd ever do an episode on Fauvism. I love you, badass ladies. Thank you for everything you do, XO Rin.
No wonder you cry.
I know.
I know, and it's all the time. We have the best fans.
They are the best.
They are just the sweetest. Fauvism, we're doing
it's on our list.
Yeah, it's on our list. We're going to be doing an art history baby episode. BB?
BB.
Mm-hmm. A little BB episode on Fauvism, and then that will probably make its way into a full-length episode at some point.
Yeah.
So in the near future, we should be talking about Fauvism. It's one of my all-time favorite movements, easily.
Agreed.
I love colors. I love the colors.
I know.
I could just get lost in them.
Yeah.
So it's coming. Don't you worry, little Rin.
Yeah. So that is on the docket. Don't even worry about it.
Also, I'm sure you're probably a better writer and painter than you're giving yourself credit for.
Oh, definitely. It's just part of being 17 is thinking you'd suck at it.
Yeah. Like, that's okay.
That's just part of it. Like, don't even worry about it.
Keep writing. Keep making stuff.
Doing it.
Yeah. And it'll come more naturally.
Dude, at 17, listening to art history podcasts?
Like,
right?
Me either.
Right?
I was 17. When I was 17. Yeah, like,
right?
Good on you. You're on the right path. Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
for real. You're
listening to no podcasts.
Not at all. Not at all.
Listening to crappy music, probably.
Yeah, for real.
Or something. Yeah. Sorry, it's any Green Day fans.
My dad, actually. It's true.
They had
some hits.
They had some hits. When iconic. I Come Around, I love that song. Still love that song. But American Idiot was kind of rough. That album.
My dad's favorite album.
Stop.
Yes.
Did you see the musical?
He's seen them live. He hasn't seen the musical. He got me like a couple records for Christmas. And I was like, thank you.
Wait, real records?
Yeah.
You have American Idiot on vinyl.
That's amazing.
I do.
Oh.
Ginny.
It's unopened mint condition. I don't know if you want to buy it.
I can't believe you haven't listened to that just to say you have.
I know, right?
But at this point, you're right. Just hold on to it because some huge Green Day fan is going to pay you out one day.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm just going to hold on to it for a while. Hopefully my dad never hears this. He's listened to like two episodes of our podcast, so I think I'm all right.
Yeah, didn't your dad like listen to one? He was like, oh, yeah.
You guys were pretty toasted at the end.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you said shit. That was an interesting choice.
Yeah, he's like, you started swearing, and like my dad swears a lot, and I swear in front of him, but I think he was expecting it to be like very
historical,
polished. Yeah. Like he came and saw our orals presentations for our theses, and I think he thought it would be kind of like very like regimented like that. And he's like, you started saying shit, and you dropped a couple F bombs. And I was like, why are you being such a prude all the time? You say fuck every other word practically. Anyways.
Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, guys. Games. No, it was really awesome. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Good. Thank you.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah, this was great. This was really fun. Yeah. We should do it again anytime.
Yeah.
Totally. Anytime.
Yeah, come on our tours.
I was going to say. We'd love to. We'll come to your turf next time.
Yeah, make this mobile and like... do it. Ooh, as we're walking.
That's a project. That's the next that one.
Yeah. Yeah. You get this mic.
Yeah.
Get like a Britney Spears.
We'll have like
one.
A side bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Equipment.
Put on like a little roller and we'll just like roll it. Yeah. Down,
like a
rolly
bag.
Awesome. I mean, I know there's a way to do it. We just need to figure it out. We're going to be professional.
We'll be like Khan Academy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Whispering in the museum. So we're in the. What was originally the dining hall of the clergyman of Saint Mother of God.
Anyone who's never listened to a Khan Academy video is so confused right now.
I know.
So good.
It was perfect.
No
that
disrespect
was it.
To them because they are very
they
good.
They do amazing work. Yeah. They take up a lot of stuff.
There's plenty of Khan Academy links on our sources.
Oh, I'm sure.
We use their stuff all the time. No, they're great, but they are just
the voice
different than what we do.
There you go.
But thank you so much for being here, Kate.
Thanks, guys.
Check out Museum Hack, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Museums are fucking awesome.
Yes.
They are.
Bye.
Thanks, goodbye.
From Cabernet to Monet, they're here to slay the art history, babe.
Anymore.
Why are there so many surprise
It's freaky.
Trump?
It's freaky.
Because he's like a caricature of a person. He's not like a real person, so he fits into shapes.
Did you see
shapes and colors? You can literally simplify it into shapes.
You're
and
really
colors.
Right on that.
Did you see his tweet?
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Horton's new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.